The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Drop, and I'm your host, Katie Drop. Well, before we get into things, I did just drop a new music video on Thursday called Evil for Hick Tib or Bitch for Life. It's backwards. So you can go ahead and check that out on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/KatieTrop, or on my official website, katietrop.net, where you can also find Sports Talk with Trop's preferred sports books as well. Just hit the Sports Talk with Trop tab on katietrop.net. It'll take you to another page. And you will see a banner at the top of the screen that says Sports Talk with Trop Preferred Sports Books. Click on that and you will see quite a few sports books that I am associated with. So check that out and sign up in participating states. So let's get into the week that was baseball. Beginning with Monday night. They've kind of cooled off just a bit, but on Monday they were hot. And that is the Arizona Diamondbacks beat the Miami Marlins 9-6. The big news, though, was they just called up a new catcher, Adrian Del Castillo, he went 2-for-4 with a home run, that home run ended up being a grand slam, and he had 6 RBI in that game. And he's a rookie, by the way. He just came up. He's only played in 3 games up to this point, in those 3 games, he has scored 14 RBI. So the guy is he's adding to this already stacked lineup that the Arizona Diamondbacks have, it's just crazy to see a rookie do such a thing. Then on Tuesday, the San Diego Padres had a huge game over the Minnesota Twins. It was a rally for them. They were down, and then they just came back, won the game 7-5. Manny Machado tied the game up in the 7th inning at 5. And then Jurickson Profar hit the game-winning home run in the 8th inning, I believe it was, to take the lead. And the Padres just never looked back in that one. And not only are the Padres one of the best comeback teams and teams that are just able to make a run late in the game too, they are the best like 9th inning comeback team. But also, they've been one of the best teams since the second half has started. They have the best record in the second half of baseball, and it's just crazy to see. And like I keep saying, I still think the Dodgers overall are the better team. They're the more reliable team, but they really got to look out for both the Padres and the Diamondbacks because they are right on their tail right now. Then on Wednesday, the New York Yankees smashed the Cleveland Guardians 8-1, but that was not the big news. The big news was Aaron Judge hit 2 home runs in this game. He hit 46 and 47 on the season, had 3 RBI in the game. Oh, by the way, he hit 48 yesterday, so the dude is almost at 50. And then, of course, Juan Soto, he wasn't going to let Aaron have all of the fun. He also hit a home run and had 5 RBI in this game. So Aaron Judge and Juan Soto are pretty much unstoppable at this point. And the Yankees really need them because beyond them, they are the only 2 consistent guys, especially on the offensive side of the ball right now. So big win, but also Aaron Judge is just continuing to just dominate this game. And then on Thursday, we haven't had many good things to say about the Braves this season, but they did have a good game against their division rival, Philadelphia Phillies. They got a huge win last night, 3-2. But the big news is about their closer, Iglesias. He has pitched his 11th consecutive perfect inning, meaning nobody has been able to hit him. He's actually had 13 strikeouts against 33 batters in this stretch. He hasn't had anybody score on him in the last 3 weeks. The last time somebody scored on him the last hit on him was July 27th. So we're almost a month out from anybody being able to even get one hit on Raisel Iglesias. And he's actually only the 3rd pitcher in MLB history to do that. So even though the Braves have had a very, tumultuous season with the injuries. You know, Iglesias has been a shining star for them so far, and he's just had a dominating 3 weeks here. So let's take a look at what we've got with the playoff picture in baseball. Right now in the American League, the New York Yankees have taken over the number one spot, not only overall in the playoffs, but also in their division. They now have a game and a half lead over the Baltimore Orioles, which is crazy because pretty much all season, the Orioles have held it down in this division. And they're actually starting, I wouldn't say they're falling apart. Really, the Yankees and Orioles are, they've just been at each other's throats all season long. And I expect it to be that way probably to the last game of the regular season and probably into the playoffs. But, you know, to see Baltimore lose this grip and they're like, they're slowly starting to fall out. They better not fall back because the Yankees, while they've been a shaky team to me other than Judge and Soto, their starting pitching is still very capable of being very good. Their bullpen still very capable of being very good. They've got other guys on offense outside of Judge and Soto. It's just they aren't as productive and consistent, but they can get it going, especially once the playoffs roll around. But right now, down the stretch, the Yankees are holding it together, and they seem to be more on the upside of things, whereas the Orioles, they look more like they're either, you know, evening out or on the downside of things. But we'll see what happens. I mean, it's only a game and a half, but I don't know. New York seems to be getting a little bit hotter at the right time. Then in the Central Division, the Cleveland Guardians have now fallen back to the second place spot overall in the American League playoffs. And they only hold a 2-game lead now over the Kansas City Royals. The Twins as well, but I trust Kansas City more than I do the Royals. And like I said, in the last episode, I feel like Cleveland needs to be on notice. That's the one team I look at and I'm worried about because Kansas City's on that ass. Kansas City's a young, hungry team who really, they look good. They look really damn good at a lot of different positions too. Whereas Cleveland, they're a good team, but they're starting to slump in areas they've been really dominant in this season. So only a 2-game lead over the Royals right now. And then in the American League West, the Astros are starting to run away with it. They hold a 5.5-game lead right now over the Seattle Mariners, who just fired their manager yesterday. So things are not looking good in Seattle. And like I said, the Astros are the hottest team in the league. And they not only have taken over their division, but they are just flying high right now. Not only do I expect them to take over this division, but I expect them to keep that lead. I expect them to extend the lead. And I really expect you to watch out for them in the postseason because they are so fucking good right now. And then holding it down in the top three wild card spots right now in the American League, the Baltimore Orioles, the Kansas City Royals, and the Minnesota Twins. And then in the National League right now, the number one overall seed is the Los Angeles Dodgers. They have now taken over the top spot over the Phillies. And the Dodgers out west have a 4-game lead over the Diamondbacks right now. Like I said, watch out for those Diamondbacks and Padres. I believe in the Dodgers more than those other two, but I don't know, man. If the Dodgers aren't really able to remain consistent, those two teams are going to make it real difficult for them to just easily win this division. And then in second place in the National League, the Philadelphia Phillies, they are at the top of their division. They hold a 6-game lead over the Braves, so they're still sitting pretty right now. And then in the Central, we have the Milwaukee Brewers, who have the biggest lead in all of the divisions of baseball. They hold a 10-game lead over the St. Louis Cardinals. So it's pretty much Milwaukee has pretty much already won their division. I mean, yes, they could completely collapse, and who knows, but I mean, they've held it down all season. A 10-game lead, it's going to be real difficult for anybody to come back from. So the Brewers, man, probably the most consistent team all season. Yes, they're in a terrible division. I mean, that's obviously a no-brainer, but they've actually been pretty good. And, you know, I don't think they're going to make a World Series run, but I definitely kind of look at them as a playoff team where you're like, I probably don't want to play them right off the bat. I can see them taking out somebody who's pretty decent and not really being surprised by it. And then in the wild card right now, the top three teams in the National League are the Arizona Diamondbacks, the San Diego Padres, and the Atlanta Braves. So a lot is still going on for this last month-ish of baseball, and that's how it's looking right now. Now that we are headed towards the end of baseball season, that means football is right around the corner. As a matter of fact, it is officially week zero in college football. That means we do actually get a few college football games this weekend. So that means we have football from this weekend all the way until February, people. So it is officially football season, especially if you're a college football fan, since we have some games on tap. Really, the only notable game this weekend is going to be number five, Florida State, who is definitely a team that you're looking at for potential playoff run and potential national championship run. They will be going up against Georgia Tech, and they will actually be playing the game over in Ireland. So we'll see what happens with that game, but it is week zero. And also, just of note, this season we now officially have a change in the college football playoff. It kind of feels like we've changed the college football playoff every couple of years at this point. And this year's changes, we have 12 teams competing for the playoff this year. So 12 teams can get in. I think it's stupid. It's always amusing to me about college football, because always the last couple of teams who miss out on the playoff are always complaining and like, oh, we should be there. And it's like, the reason why you're not there is because you're actually not that good, and your chances are you're not beating any of these teams. And it's shown. When you see these random teams, these random nobody teams that make it out of nowhere and they end up being that number four seed or just making it, they usually get their asses beat. And it's usually not good or fun college football. But, you know, the crybabies always win. So this year we get 12 teams make the college football playoff. It's all convoluted, and I'm not going through it. It's just I think it's stupid, because still the shitty teams aren't winning the national championship, people. I'm sorry. It's still going to be the usual suspects that it always is, because they're the better teams. But you know what? Whatever. We'll just go get more college football, which, hey, I'm not going to be upset by, because it'll begin in mid-December is when we start the college football playoff. So that's cool. I'm fine with that, but I'm just here to let you know, if you're in one of those random teams that's just always like, oh man, we just missed out, and oh, we should have made it because we went undefeated and we were better than... No, you never are better than the Alabamas and the Georgias and... You're never going to be better than those top-ranked teams. It's not happening. It's just not happening. You could pretend, you can add in 95 fucking teams to the college football playoff, and guess what? Y'all still ain't winning the national championship. But you know what? It's just more money for college football, and that's really all they give a shit about. But I guarantee you, whoever wins the national championship this year, it ain't going to be Rando Magoo school out of nowhere. It's going to be probably an SEC team or one of the big top-ranked teams. It's going to be one of the top probably two or three teams. Whoever dominates the 1, 2, and 3 spot this year, it's going to be one of them, because it always is. But hey, some of you feel better about yourselves now. But that is what we look forward to this year in college football, is we get a new college football playoff yet again. We'll see how long that lasts until everybody, team number 13 this year, is going to be like, we should have made it. And then next you're going to be like, oh yeah, let's expand it to 24 teams. Anyways, I digress. Let's move on to my NFL season prediction, since we are only 2 weeks out from the beginning of pro NFL football. I already did my predictions on the NFC and AFC East teams and divisions. So now today's show, I'm going to do the NFC North and the AFC North teams. So let's see how I believe the NFC North is going to pan out this year. So I believe the Green Bay Packers are going to win their division this year. As a matter of fact, I think the Green Bay Packers are going to be one of the best teams in the league this year. I think they're going to go 13-4. And yes, they did lose Aaron Jones, which I thought was a really weird move from them, but they did sign Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs is just as capable, just as talented, and just as good, in my opinion, as Aaron Jones. The only problem is injuries with him. He's He's really damn good, but once that injury hits him, it's usually a bad injury. It's never just like, oh, a little sprain that he could play, keep playing on. It's always something debilitating. It takes him out of the game. So that could be a problem for them, but if he just stays healthy, he's going to be an excellent weapon to this already stacked Green Bay offense. So we've discovered Jordan Love is absolutely a capable quarterback. I wouldn't call him a top tier quarterback yet. Obviously, just one season in as a starting quarterback, I'm not gonna W the next Brett Favre, but he looked pretty good last year. He looked very capable last year. The offense seemed to really like him. The coach seems to really like him. So I just think Jordan Love is going to have another solid year. I think he's going to improve upon what he did last year. He's got a solid wide receiving group. I think they're just going to get better as well because, you know, they're all pretty much in the same age range. They pretty much came into the league about the same time. So I feel like that's a really solid core group right there. And then defensively, I think they're going to be a top team on defense as well. So I just look at the Green Bay Packers, and I feel like overall as a team, this is a really damn good team. And I think they're going to be one of the top teams in the NFC. Really, their only weakness I could find on their roster is the tight end position. And who knows, maybe they'll have some breakout dude at tight end. But overall, I mean, they've got about three guys at the wide receiver position who could be a number one on other teams. So I feel like they've got a lot of depth. I feel like they look like a really solid team, and I think they're just going to build off of what they did last year and be even better this year. Then finishing at number two in the NFC North, I have the Detroit Lions. I have them going 11-6, so falling back just a bit. I don't think they're going to be as dominating as they were last year because, like I said, I think the Packers are going to be a better team. I think the Bears are going to be a better team as well. So I think there's going to be other teams out there. They also will have a tougher schedule as well, just because of what happened last year, how well you play. You usually get a more difficult schedule the next year. But I mean, they're still the same team they were last year for the most part, especially on the offensive side of the ball. So I still expect them to be one of the top offensive teams in the league. It's just I look at their defense and their secondary. It got blown up last year, and they really didn't do much to improve upon it this year. So I kind of see that being an issue for them. But, I mean, overall, I look at the Lions, and I think they're going to be a good team this year. Definitely a playoff contender. I don't know about Super Bowl contender just yet, but I look at the Lions, and I think, yeah, they're going to be a solid team this year. Then at number three, finishing in the NFC North, I've got the Chicago Bears. I've got them going 9-8 this year. And that's a huge improvement upon what's been going on with them the last couple of seasons. I think with the addition of Caleb Williams, I think they finally have a legit starting quarterback, franchise quarterback, who we're going to actually be finally looking at the Bears like, they've got a quarterback for probably the next 10 years if he plays as well as I expect him to. But also, they've made some good additions on the offensive side of the ball for him as well with Keenan Allen. They traded for him in the offseason, and he's an extremely underrated wide receiver, in my opinion. He's been out in San Diego / Los Angeles Chargers for his entire career so far, and it doesn't matter who his quarterback is. He's had multiple quarterbacks throughout his career, and he still produces. So I think for a rookie, he's going to really be very helpful. Then they also picked up DeAndre Swift as well in the backfield. So I look at the Bears offensively, and I think they're going to be much more improved. Definitely think they're going to go through some growing pains because, hey, that's just, this team isn't the best, but I look at them and I think they could beat the Lions and the Packers because they're division rivals. So they might sneak in a win here and there. And I feel like they're just going to be one of those teams who's going to be streaking where it's low and high, but they're going to get some random wins. And I just look at them and I go, I think they're on the right path. Definitely the questions, though, with this team are the offensive line, which has been an issue for a little while here. But lucky for them, Caleb Williams is pretty good on the move, but so is Justin Fields, and look where he's at. And then, shockingly, I look at the Bears defense and go, what the fuck is going on here? They don't really have any standouts on the defensive side of the ball, so I think that's going to be a huge question for them. But I do look at the Chicago Bears as a team this year that's definitely going to improve and could get a few shock wins here and there as the season wears on. And then finishing in last place in the NFC North, I have the Minnesota Vikings. I have them going 2-15 this year. I just look at this team and go, wow, You are terrible. They do still have Justin Jefferson, of course, the top wide receiver in the league. And then they did pick up Aaron Jones in the offseason from the Green Bay Packers. So they do have some big playmakers on offense. But outside of those two, this team's terrible. They let Kirk Cousins go, which I just think was weird because the fans liked him. And I understand drafting J.J. McCarthy and, you know, he tore his ACL, so you couldn't really predict that. But Sam Darnold is their starting quarterback and he headed into the season. And I'm sorry, Sam Darnold has not impressed once as the starting quarterback, like the standout, like I'm starting the season as a starting quarterback. He can come in if the starting quarterback's injured and fill in for a game or two and at least be a capable quarterback. But this guy has shown he cannot carry a team. And that's going to be the case, in my opinion, this year. I just look at the Vikings and then you turn to the defensive side of the ball and you're like, who the fuck is this? This is the nobody squad on defense, other than Stephon Gilmore, who they did just sign a couple weeks ago. But, you know, for the most part, I look at the Vikings and I go, yeesh, it's going to be a long year if you are a Minnesota Vikings fan. Now moving on to the AFC North and how I feel that this division is going to pan out. The team that I feel like is going to finish in first place this year is the Cincinnati Bengals. I think they're going to go 12-5. Mostly because they do get Joe Burrow back. You know, he missed the majority of last season with that wrist injury. And, you know, he's coming in healthy because he actually did start last season off with that calf injury. And then it pretty much just went downhill for him there. And he was just pretty much out for the rest of the season. But this offseason, it's been much different for him. It's been very quiet on the injury front. And he's been pretty solid in the few instances that we've seen him play in the preseason. So I look at Joe Burrow and I feel like we got this dude back. And if you've got him back, you've got Ja'Marr Chase out there who has been phenomenal his entire career as a Bengal. And then you got T. Higgins, who had his little spat with the Bengals in the offseason, but he sounds like he's all in. And then they also picked up Geno Stone in the offseason from the Baltimore Ravens, who last year, he had a career year. He had a standout year. He was one of the top guys with takeaways last year. And this defense for the Bengals already was pretty solid. So I look at this Bengals team, and I feel like their only weakness, their only question is at the running back position. And that's just because I don't know what I'm going to get from any of them. So it's very possible that they could just find a diamond in the rough there and a guy just comes out of nowhere and just dominates. But I look at this Bengals team and they're just really good, in my opinion. I think they're going to be a standout team this year, and I think they're going to dominate their division, and I think they're going to be one of the top teams in the AFC yet again. Then finishing in second place in the AFC North, I had the Baltimore Ravens. I had them going 10-7. My only question with them has been the same question it's been for the last three, four, maybe even five seasons now at this point, is their health. They've just had so many issues, not even just with Lamar Jackson, but just overall with defenders. And it always seems it's like they're these debilitating injuries too. It's not a guy missing a week here or two. It's just they'll be gone for the whole season with a torn ACL or a ruptured pec or something crazy like that. Now, they did pick up Derrick Henry in the offseason, which I think is excellent because they already were the top ground attack team for, what, the last, like, three-ish seasons? Basically, ever since they drafted Lamar Jackson, they've been one of the top teams on the ground. And so Derrick Henry, he's obviously one of the best running backs in the league, but you just don't know what you're going to get. Is he going to fit in with this team? And that's just kind of how I feel about the Ravens overall. I do think they're a good team, but I just don't, there's just something about them where I'm like, I don't know if you're a Super Bowl contender this year. They had a really good year last year, but I just look at them and I go, I don't know about you. So that's just kind of how I feel about them. I feel like they're going to struggle when it comes to playing against the Bengals, because I do think the Bengals, depth-wise, have it more together. And I just kind of look at the Ravens as I feel like they're a playoff team, but I feel like they're going to have their struggles at some point in the season. Then finishing in third place in the AFC North, I have the Cleveland Browns. I have what I would call a typical Cleveland Browns season for them. I have them going 7-10. I just look at this team and there's really not much going on. I don't believe in Deshaun Watson. He hasn't really shown that he's gonna be that guy. He's not terrible, but he's not what he used to be. And it's just, you look at the Browns, and I just don't believe in them. So I can't really, and then you've got the Ravens and the Bengals above them, who I think are much better teams. And I just look at the Browns and I go, you just don't know what you're going to get from them. So until they show me something, I can't believe in them. And they haven't really shown me anything for much. They've never shown me anything in my entire life. So it's just hard to believe in them. And so I don't really think they're going to even have a good season this year. And then rounding out the AFC North, I have the Pittsburgh Steelers. As a matter of fact, I think finally Mike Tomlin is going to have his first losing season with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I think it's going to be a doozy. I have the Steelers going 3-14 this year. It's just because there's just questions everywhere up and down this roster. You look at them at the quarterback position. Is it going to be Russell Wilson? Is it going to be Justin Fields? I feel like that's going to be the question from week one all the way till the end of the season. Then the running back position, what the fuck's going on there? Yes, Najee Harris has his moments, but other than that, what the fuck is going on there? Then the wide receiver position, they have nobody Magoo up and down the fucking roster. Then the offensive line, still fucking terrible. The positives, the defense, yes, they've still got Watt, they've still got Minkah Fitzpatrick, they still have got some amazing playmakers on the defensive side of the ball, but offense ain't gonna score shit. Offense isn't going to do shit. So I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be one of the worst teams this year. And I think it's going to be one of the worst seasons that Mike Tomlin has ever had in his time as the Pittsburgh Steelers coach. So I'm not expecting shit from the Pittsburgh Steelers this year. All right, y'all. Enjoy the weekend of sports. And I will talk to you fools on Monday.